In a drab gray interview room, Ronnie looked exhausted but not guilty. Cecilia had seen him guilty.
I didn't do it, Aunt Cecilia. None of us did.
I know, dear, but what did happen?
I told them...
Yes, but they haven't let us see the transcripts yet. I need to know.
Ronnie went over it again.
And I'm sure they weren't really hotel employees. The uniforms didn't really fit. But the important thing is the leader wasn't Finvarthian, and George proved it, and the others jumped him.
Who has the contact lenses?
The police, I suppose. George had them, but they took them away from him.
In another interview room, Rafa's hair hung in lank strings, and the cherry-colored dress had been torn somewhere along the line.
They've got it all wrong, Aunt Marta. Ronnie and George didn't do it.
She gave Marta her view of things.
And if you could possibly bring me some clothes...
I'm going to bring you a way out of here or rip this place up by its foundations.
I forgot. They said something about sabotaging the field generator, the one that holds back the sea.
I'll tell them. Don't worry, Rafa.
It's a red herring. No amateur could sabotage a field generator.
Marta glared at him, recognized invincible ignorance, and made a strategic withdrawal to the hotel. Their descent on the hotel was almost as startling as their descent on the police station. The doorman, the hotel manager, the concierge, all bowed and scraped and fawned and disclaimed all intent to cause trouble for them or any member of their illustrious families. Only, there was this matter of shots being fired and bodies on the floor. Eventually, the gush of apologies and explanations ended.
Were they your employees?
The dead man? No. They were in our uniform, so at first we thought, of course, that they were. But they weren't. Perhaps they wore the uniforms to provide some... excitement, the police said.
My niece does not get sexual kicks from playing with men in hotel uniforms.
No, of course not, madam.
Nor does my nephew. He is, after all, engaged to her niece.
Yes, madam. Of course, madam.
And since they weren't your employees, isn't it possible that they wore those uniforms to gain access to Rafa's rooms without being detected? That they did, in fact, initiate the attack?
I suppose so, madam.
This with a dubious look and an exchange of glances from manager to concierge and back.
But that's a matter for the police to decide. And there's still the damage to hotel property. Valuable communications equipment, lamps, sprinkler system.
Insurance.
Never mind that. We own the hotel.
Venezia had been glaring at the masks on the walls and the vases holding floral displays, muttering something about execrable decorations since she arrived. She fixed the manager with a steely eye.
It will not be a billing item.
No, madam, no.
Excuse me, ladies.
Harris looked around and saw an elderly man who held his hat in his hand. Bright blue eyes peered out from under bushy white eyebrows. His white mustache had been waxed to perfect points. He wore a fresh pink rosebud in the lapel of his gray suit, and his shiny black shoes were covered with white. Spats, she finally remembered, was the right word for them. Cecilia, Marta, and Venezia were momentarily speechless.
I understand the young people have had a spot of trouble. I tried to warn them yesterday. The young men, I mean.
You spoke with Ronnie and George?
Yes. I'm Hubert DeVries Michelson, by the way. And from his description, you must be his Aunt Cecilia.
Yes.
I'm retired. Formerly a neurosynthetic chemist here. Never quite made enough to retire off-world.
Can you recommend an attorney, Mr. Michelson?
No, but I can help you if you'll let me. I believe I have evidence that may convince the police someone else is involved.
What concerns me most is this field generator Rafa mentioned. Apparently one of the men said something about arranging a failure. The police wouldn't listen.
They said what? About the field generator?
Rafa said one of the men claimed it would fail, that their deaths would be blamed on its failure.
It would destroy this entire structure, and most of Twoville within days or weeks as the seawater infiltrated. Should I evacuate now or...
Of course, with one of them dead and the others injured, maybe there's no danger.
Harris wondered if she should get into this discussion. If they were talking about a Tiegman field generator, danger was too mild a word for the risk of collapse. Had the threat been serious or just an attempt to panic the youngsters?
I think someone had better interview the survivors. I presume they're under medical care.
Marta looked around as if expecting them to be rolled out in their beds for inspection.
They're at the clinic.
But the survivors had disappeared from the local clinic, to the annoyance of the nursing staff. Their annoyance paled beside that of the aunts.
They what?
Have you notified the police?
Hubert had joined their parade, where he formed a decorative accent. The nursing supervisor was bug-eyed with exasperation.
No! They weren't charged with anything.
They will be.
Call the police. Now.
The nursing supervisor looked stubborn a moment, but then reached for the comm.
The field generator. If they're loose and well enough, they could still sabotage it. Who's in charge of the Teigman maintenance? Where's the power supply?
The thought of someone playing games with a Teigman field made Harris feel queasy. She knew a way to knock out a Teigman field generator with only a few kilograms of explosive, placed accurately for the field configuration. She wasn't at all sure Cecilia and the other older women understood how bad it could be if the field blew.
Ah, there I can help you out. I've played cards with the chief engineer out of the control station every week for years.
Hubert beamed at Harris, and she wanted to smack him.
If you'll excuse me, ladies, I think a word with the chief engineer is necessary at this point. Perhaps he can be persuaded to take precautions, at least be ready to divert all power to the field.
Go ahead. Take care of it. We're going back to the police.
Venezia marched out. Harris wondered if she ought to go with the dapper little man. How reliable could someone in spats be? But Cecilia beckoned to her.
I know it's dangerous. I saw your expression. But we can't do anything about it. And if this field whatever doesn't kill us, Venezia can do something about the worst problem which made this threat possible.
That made sense, though Harris wasn't happy to be left out of the action. By the time they made it back to the police station, both the hotel manager and the clinic had reported. In addition, a perspiring manager from the local corporate headquarters bearing a bunch of flowers for Venezia. They began a low-voiced conversation while the others approached the front desk. The captain, still bleary-eyed but now depilated and in a clean shirt, glowered at them.
You're complicating a very simple case. Now, I understand family feeling, but even the best families have bad apples.
Harris could have told him this was the wrong approach.
It would be a simple case if you would listen to your prisoners.
When my niece Otala disappeared, you found nothing.
There was nothing to find. There was no evidence.
Harris doubted that he had ever looked for any.
I asked that girl Rafa to come here to find out what happened to Otala. I thought a girl could find a girl better than some man. And she did find out what happened, and it nearly happened to her. And now you're ignoring it.
Venezia, who had seemed the most insignificant of the older ladies, now had the intensity Harris associated with weapons-grade lasers. Quite unlike the incandescent flash that was Cecilia's anger, Venezia's steady rancor seemed ready to cut its way through any obstacle.
Just because someone is not Finvardian and not really a hotel employee does not make them a spy or a murderer. Wearing contact lenses is not a crime.
Ah, so now you agree that one of the men was not Finvardian. Do you know what he was?
The captain looked down.
Well?
He appears to have been a citizen of the Benignity of the Compassionate Hand.
A Benignity agent? Here?
I have no evidence that he was an agent, merely a citizen.
A registered alien?
Well, no, but he had been working in the factory for about 3 years.
Illegally.
Heads turned to look at Harris, and she smiled.
I would consider that a Benignity citizen in disguise, not registered as an alien, and working in a critical industry for 3 years, was almost certainly an agent.
Everyone thought he was a Finvardian.
Apparently.
But he was murdered.
By Finvardians who discovered that he wasn't. Who thought, perhaps, he was leading them astray.
George Mahoney had a gun in his hand.
And did that man die of gunshot wounds?
Well, no, he was stabbed. But there's no evidence that the other individuals under arrest could not have stabbed him.
And I might have sung grand opera while hanging upside down in zero G. But I didn't, despite the lack of evidence exonerating me.
What about the ones who ran away from the clinic? Doesn't that convince you that they're guilty?
Of pretending to be hotel employees, yes. But that's hardly a major crime.
And the field generator?
Hasn't failed yet. Won't fail, can't fail. It is
possible.
In the darkness, no ventilation fans were turning, no compressors working, nothing electrical functioning at all. After too long a wait, dim orange emergency lights came on, and the reflective arrows painted on the floor to indicate the way out glowed against the dimness.
It's not. It's something else.
Pardon me, madam. I must, under the circumstances,
The company manager shook himself loose from Venezia and bolted for the door.
Let's go.
I'm not leaving without Ronnie, no matter what.
Sir, we've got to evacuate the lower levels.
Yeah, very well. Go on now. We'll bring them all outside. Just be patient.
But Cecilia and Marta and Venezia, and Harris, stood their ground until the prisoners came up. Until they were sure that Rafa and Ronnie and George were safely above ground. Outside, in the hot afternoon, the streets were full of sullen, frightened people, more and more of them pouring out of the entrances to all the buildings. Harris noticed a lot of pale, light-eyed Finvardians. The police, after a despairing look at the aunts, gave up any pretense of guarding their young prisoners and began moderately effective crowd control efforts. At least they kept people moving away from the shore, away from the police station and hotel. Ronnie and George leaned against the wall, and Rafa leaned against Ronnie. The aunts pursed their lips, but said nothing.
Are all the factories underground?
I suppose. I know some of them are. I never really... That is, my brothers were in charge, you see, after Papa died. They never wanted to talk to me about business. And of course, if you do have underground facilities, Finvardians are an efficient workforce.
I hope that nice little man in the suit didn't get hurt.
I hope that nice little man in the suit wasn't a mad bomber.
The Rosebud and Spats had done nothing to reassure Harris. The main field hadn't blown or they'd all be dead, but something had gone very wrong. A misplaced charge could cause sudden loss of power, then field fluctuation and restabilization in another configuration. She could easily imagine Michelson in the role of inept saboteur or not quite rescuer. Suddenly the floor trembled. Harris eyed the nearby wall.
Out in the street. Now!
They all scuttled into the middle of the street as the shaking worsened and bits of plaster fell off the walls. Luckily, these were all one-story buildings. Then a bouncing lurch sent them all to their knees, and the trembling died away. Harris clambered up, dusting herself off.
Field's back on.
Why did it shake?
Reconfiguration. My guess would be that the saboteur miscalculated the placement of the charge. With power, the field's inertia would damp the fluctuations. That's why the lights went out. The field bled power off the supply net, but it didn't find enough power to regain its former geometry. So it collapsed toward a sphere. What that means to the structures, we won't know until we look.
Is it safe now?
If someone doesn't tweak it again. We're lucky. If it had blown completely, we wouldn't be here to worry about it.
I don't want to be here at all.
We'll go home soon.
No, I don't want to go home. I want to go with Ronnie.
Marta's brows went up.
Disperse. Go to your quarters. Danger is over. The Teigman field has been restored. Shift 2, report to your supervisors in level 1. All shift 2, report.
Let's see about the hotel. If it's not full of water, maybe we can get something cool to drink.
No one interfered as they made their way back to the hotel entrance. Harris noticed that the local manager trailed along behind, the now disheveled bouquet still in hand. Venezia ignored him. The doorman, shaken but willing, opened the door. Inside, the lights were on, and the waterfall still plunged over the lip of the central well. The hotel manager scurried to meet them.
Ladies, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but our facilities are not back to full operation yet.
I want to sit down on something soft, in a cool, shady place, with something to drink. And I really don't care what, as long as it's cool and wet.
The same.
The hovering manager tried again to present his bouquet to Venezia, and she turned on him.
I will be in your office in 1 hour. And I will then expect a complete disclosure of your role in this fiasco.
Harris wondered which fiasco Venezia meant. From the look on the manager's face, he might have had more than one to conceal. Venezia finished her first tall glass, gestured for another, and then spoke to them all.
You don't have to come with me. I expect it will be a long, tedious afternoon.
I wouldn't miss it, If you'll allow a rival into your files, that is.
Where I'm thinking of, that's no problem. Cecilia, will you join us? Or would you rather babysit the youngsters?
Harris blinked. She still had trouble connecting the dumpy little woman she had first seen with this regal personage, who seemed to know exactly what she was doing.
Let Harris go. She can represent the government if necessary. And it'll be good experience for her.
Tedious, Venezia had said. In the event, Harris found the afternoon far from tedious. When they arrived at the corporate offices, Venezia brushed past the little receiving line the manager had put together and stormed through the reception area so fast that Harris got only a glimpse of elegant charcoal gray carpet and oyster gray leather upholstery, a serene vision marred only by the unfortunate puce pottery statuette displayed on a stand. The serenity of the front office vanished behind the first glass partition, where kicked anthill better fit the level and pattern of activity. Actual filing cabinets stuffed with papers, which scurrying minions shifted from drawer to drawer with frantic looks when they recognized intruders. Other workers hunched over desk comps, fingers flickering as they did something. Harris could not tell what, at the speed with which Venezia led them along. Where was she going? How did she know where to go? Behind her, the manager gestured with his still wilting bouquet, but Venezia ignored him. Marta followed Venezia, and Harris followed Marta, and the manager crowded Harris, but lacked the force to push past her. Along a hall, up a flight of stairs, along another hall. Clearly, this was executive territory, still carpeted, with offices opening off the passage and a larger one at the end. That would be the manager's office, Harris was sure. As they neared it, she could read the engraved nameplate. The manager's office, when they arrived, had been cleared for Venezia. Fresh flowers in a hot turquoise and green pot in the middle of the desk. Venezia went straight to his assistant's office next door. There, piled in a heap on a side table, was everything that must have been on the manager's desk, including a family portrait. Here, Venezia paused, and here, the hapless manager caught up. He waved toward the door.
Please, madam, my office is the best we have. It will suit you, I'm sure.
Later!
Venezia prowled the room, eyeing the side table of files, cubes, loose papers. The manager's assistant broke out in a fine sheen, as if someone had sprayed him with oil. His gaze flickered back and forth between her and the screen of his desk comp. He reached out a trembling hand.
No!
Venezia had not seemed to be watching the assistant, but her command stopped his hand in midair.
Get up now, and go out!
Out?
Venezia glared at him. He ducked his head and hunched aside, almost stumbling out of his chair. She moved into his chair herself and addressed the manager without looking at him.
I'm going to assume that the enabling codes specified in the Moraline Codex are still active.
Harris, watching the manager, saw a flush rise up his face, followed by pallor.
Yes, madam, but there are other...
Give them to me.
Harris had heard admirals in battle with less command presence. Stuttering, protesting, the manager finally gave Venezia the codes.
But it will all be so confusing, madam. I have prepared a précis.
Good. If I become confused, I can look at it.
Venezia glanced at Marta.
You're the biochemist. What do you want to look at?
You're going to give me open access to your technical files?
I don't have time to worry about it. It's an emergency. You're the only independent expert. Tell you what, I'll hire you, put you on retainer, and then you'll have to give me a loyalty bond. What's your consultant rate?
You always were smarter than you looked.
Marta named a figure that Harris compared to a large fraction of her own yearly salary.
Contract accepted. I'll need comp access.
Venezia looked at the manager, who had faded to a depressing shade of gray.
Oh, in here, madam.
Marta followed him into his own office. Venezia glanced at Harris.
How are you with personnel files, Captain Serrano?
Harris wondered what she meant. How was she with personnel files doing what? Her face must have been as blank as her mind.
Export-import ratios?
That made more sense, but Venezia shook her head.
No. Just be ready to keep the interruptions away, if you would.
Harris felt silly, demoted from partner to door watch. She looked around. An ordinary office room, large and cluttered. More actual paper than she'd seen in years, including bulky metal files to keep it in. Cube files as well. Cube readers, wall display units, schedules with colored lines all over them. Venezia, when she looked back at her, was hunched over the desk comp, doing something Harris couldn't follow. Harris could just see the flicker of rapidly changing screens, lines of text and blocks of numbers scrolling past much faster than she would have cared to read.
Does this old woman really know what she's doing?
Cecilia was sharp enough, at least about horses and her own investments, but Venezia had not yet impressed Harris with her intelligence. She had seemed far more scatterbrained than Cecilia or Marta. She had kept muttering about pottery. What was she reading so fast?
Aha! He's sharpened the blade for his own throat this time.
What?
It's a mistake to assume that people with artistic hobbies can't think.
Harris blinked. This was exactly the sort of statement she would have expected from Venezia 8 hours before.
Or won't notice.
Venezia went on stabbing at the controls. She had bright patches of color on her cheeks, and Harris realized she was in a considerable rage.
My brothers. Did you have brothers, my dear?
Only one, and he died.
Harris had never really known him. She had been only 5 when he died, and he had been adult.
Friends tell me they can be human, but I always doubted it. My brothers... Well, most of it doesn't matter now, except as background for not trusting them. But they've overreached themselves this time, and I'm not going to back down.
Venezia pushed back her chair and went to the door of the other office.
Marta, anything critical?
Harris craned her neck to look. Rafa's aunt didn't glance up from the desk comp she was using.
Only if you want your product to meet contract specs. This is very strange, Venezia. Some of the problem is just your biochemists trying to find a cheap way around a difficult synthesis. But some of it is... could almost be deliberate sabotage. I'm not sure how these changes will function biologically.
Product liability problems?
Unquestionably. You'll have to track the shipments to see how bad it is. And retainer or not, there's no way I can keep quiet about some of this.
I don't want you to. We're going to have to close this facility down anyway, at least for some time.
What will your brothers say? Can you convince them?
The grin on Venezia's face reminded Harris of her Aunt Admiral on the trail of a feckless ship's captain.
I can do more than convince them, Marta. I can destroy them. I have the shares.
I'm impressed. Then why did you let them get into this mess?
Venezia shifted from foot to foot.
I was busy elsewhere. I know that's no excuse, really. It's my money, my responsibility. I should have been keeping track of them. But Oscar, he's so difficult. It was easier to stay away. You're going to say I should have known.
No need. You already know that. What can I do to help?
Be sure you bring along any evidence you'll need. I'll try to secure these files, but you can see how it is. These people will try to protect themselves.
If it would help...
Both the older women turned to look at Harris.
Yes?
If they think I'm an official fleet representative, perhaps that will make them think twice about destroying things. Or, if it would help, I've got a really good scan tech who could probably put military-grade encryptions on them. And someone who could watch the door while he does it.
Perfect! How long before you can get your people down here?
I don't know the shuttle schedule.
Harris refrained from telling Venezia that it was her presence on the other shuttle that had kept them aloft.
It shouldn't take long for the little equipment he'll need.
There will be a shuttle. I'll order one.
Harris was only mildly surprised at the efficiency with which Venezia ordered a shuttle, arranged a secure comlink for Harris to the Sweet Delight, and arranged ground transportation for Harris's personnel when they landed. Some officers didn't look as formidable as they were. Venezia must be that sort. And Bunny, she remembered, had had that uncanny ability to change gears from foolish, horse-besotted Idle Rich to the very effective Lord Thornbuckle. Was it something that came with money and power, or with age, or all of the above? If age was part of it, the increasing number of rejuvenants were going to affect society even more than she'd thought. Marta and Venezia continued to unearth more problems and discuss them. a discussion that went far beyond Harris's comprehension, until Kutsudis, Oblo, and Mahari showed up. Harris explained what Venezia wanted. Oblo looked around the offices.
No problem, Captain. Just how much trouble do we expect?
Not much, really. The damage is done. It's just a matter of protecting the evidence. And they know I represent Fleet. Unofficially, of course.
Of course.
Mahari grinned. She had brought some of the lethal weaponry Harris had bought on the first voyage, and the lightweight body armor under her ship suit was obvious to the instructed eye. So was the military bearing of all three. Kutsudis, busy at the computer terminal, had attached some of his pet boxes.
I've secured the database. It'll snag and log any attempts to delete or alter anything, and lock the guilty terminal.
I'll just go around and put out a few scanners.
Oblo waggled the duffel he carried.
Good.
The two older women looked pleased, and Harris let herself enjoy it. At least she didn't feel like a useless idiot next to them, although she was beginning to suspect they might not need even this help. Venezia turned to lead the way back out of the building.
I'm thinking of dinner. Did we ever have anything for lunch?
All the way back to the hotel, Venezia and Marta discussed the culinary possibilities of the local cuisine, as if all they cared about was food. They were all relaxing after a leisurely dinner, waiting for dessert to be served, when a deferential waiter brought Venezia a comm unit and plugged it in for her.
A call, madam, from madam's brothers.
Good. I have something to say to them.
Venezia did not click on the privacy screen.
Venezia, you stupid cow! What are you trying to do? You're ruining us! It's all your fault!
No, I am not the problem, Oscar. You are! I know about Otala. I know about the drugs!
Venezia, no! Not on an open line!
I have called an emergency stockholders meeting, and you can either resign now or be thrown out.
Venezia, you don't understand. It's your artistic temperament. I understand that. Someone's upset you.
You have upset me! Artistic temperament, my fundament! Do you think I haven't seen what you did with those ceramics you said you appreciated so much? I even found one on the desk in the police station. Never mind. I haven't made a pot in years. I bought them wholesale in the Guarani Republic just to keep you boys off my back so I could do what I wanted to do, and you never even noticed that I kept picking uglier and uglier ones, hoping you'd quit asking.
Oh, you just don't understand, Venezia. It was for your own good.
Otala's death was not for my own good. She would never have been killed if you hadn't been involved in this mess with rejuvenation. If you hadn't ignored the workers' complaints.
Workers always complain.
You were forcing Finvardians to manufacture rejuvenation drugs, and you tried to coerce them to use contraceptives. Didn't you bother to find out anything about Finvardians?
They're tough, hard workers, and they like living underground.
They're also fanatic about free birth and plastic surgery. You remember when you wanted my investment in the expansion? I asked you then if you understood what a Finvardian workforce meant, and you said, never mind, Venezia, let us boys handle it. I should have known better.
Venezia looked as if she might cry. Marta reached for the comm unit and identified herself.
Lord Thornbuckle is personally interested in these matters. The supply of contaminated, adulterated, and illegal rejuvenation chemicals concerns the highest level of government. I think Venezia's right. Resignation's your best option.
But she's never managed any...
She has the shares, doesn't she? Besides, it's not a secret monopoly anymore. Your profit margin just collapsed. You'll be lucky if you're not held personally responsible for damages under the product liability laws.
And if there's any evidence of pharmaceuticals from here getting into the hands of that conniving minister's sister, Lorenza, you know whom I mean, then I personally will sue you for the damages she did me.
And while the fleet chose not to act openly, in recognition of the difficulties remaining since the Patchcock incursion, I should tell you that I have a brief from my admiral to report on the situation here and determine if it poses a threat to the security of the Familius.
But you're just a lot of stupid old ladies.
Wrong, Oscar.
Venezia, calm again, looked at each of her allies and winked.
We're a lot of rich, powerful powerful, smart old ladies. And as you know, I've never had any rejuve procedure, so I can take the Ramhof Inakin and repeat it as often as I like. I'll always be there, Oscar. Older, richer, stronger, smarter. Live with it.
Venezia cut the connection and grinned at the others. Marta and Cecilia nodded. Harris raised her glass.
Two aunts, including mine.
Hubert DeVries Michelson reappeared, this time in a formal black dinner jacket, with one arm in a black silk sling, just as the waiter brought their desserts. Graciously, they invited him to join them, and he eased himself into a chair, careful of his arm. As Harris expected, he was glad to explain his role. He had tried to warn management of the danger of manufacturing rejuvenant drugs with Finvardian workers, he said, and he had argued against the cost-cutting synthesis that sometimes degraded the product. But he'd been forcibly retired, with not enough money in his account to go off-planet. So he had worked alone, gathering evidence as he could.
It's a wonder they didn't just kill you.
Harris thought the black silk sling was a bit overdone. He couldn't be badly hurt, if he was hurt at all. And he didn't need that kind of fancy dress anymore.
They would have, if I hadn't made such a ridiculous figure. That's why I dress so formally all the time.
His shoulders shifted, emphasizing the well-cut dinner jacket. Harris had to admit it suited him. He twinkled at them.
They couldn't believe anyone with creases and rosebuds and spats and so on would be a menace. They let me alone, mostly, though I couldn't get access to open communication. I was very glad to see you ladies. I'm not getting any younger, you know, and I was afraid my evidence would be lost when I died.
And of course they wouldn't let you have rejuvenation.
Of course not. Although, with what I knew about the production shortcuts here, I'm not sure I'd have wanted it. Now, the field generator. I just wish I'd been faster. The chief engineer didn't want to believe me, and I couldn't get him to go look.
But the field didn't collapse.
Harris was not sure how far to pursue this. She still did not know, and wanted to know, if the charge had been improperly calculated, or if Michelson really had saved them all. Did he even know? Hubert paused to sip from his glass.
No, we were lucky, I suppose. Anyway, after the chief engineer threw me out of his office, I hung around the control room. I know a lot of the workers there. And was ready to throw the switch diverting all power to the field generator when the explosion came.
And your arm?
I tripped. I'm not as spry as I was, you know. Someone tried to pull me away from the controls. I fell over a chair, couldn't catch myself, and there it was. A simple fracture. A couple of hours in the regen tank, and all that's left is the soreness. They wanted to keep me overnight in the clinic, but I wanted to find you ladies.
Again, that roguish twinkle. Cecilia, Harris noticed, had a speculative look in her eyes. So did Marta and Venezia. They needed no help, she realized, in seeing Hubert for what he was, a minor player who wished very much to have a starring role on the strength of one decisive action.
That's very gallant of you.
I was hoping we could celebrate together.
I think the company owes you a rejuvenation, Mr. Michelson. And I will have someone review your retirement folder. A senior scientist should certainly have had enough in his account to travel off-planet. Of course, we are all grateful that you were able to do something about the field generator and prevent worse trouble. Unfortunately, while we certainly have cause for celebration, and I personally appreciate your help, we've all been traveling a long time and would really rather go to bed.
To his credit, his cheerful face did not lose its bright expression.
Oh. Well, in that case, I thank you for your interest, madam, and hope you have a very restful night.
He bowed slightly and walked off, jaunty as ever. Harris found herself unexpectedly sympathetic, now that she was sure her gaggle of aunts was safe. He had been helpful, courteous, brave. She hoped he would find someone to celebrate with. With that twinkle, he probably would. Morning brought more changes. A message had arrived from the police station that all charges against the young people had been dropped. Harris noticed pale bear patches on the wall where the ugliest pottery decorations had hung, and passed one hotel employee hastily tacking up a framed picture of flowers over another. The young people, with the resilience of youth, were attacking a huge breakfast in the hotel dining room when Harris got there, They waved her over.
But wait till you hear. Ronnie and Rafa are going to elope.
Not exactly elope, but we are going to marry.
Ronnie swallowed an entire muffin in one mouthful and grinned at Harris.
Aunt Cecilia has decided to drop her suit against my parents. She says if you're going back in fleet and can put up with your aunt, the Admiral, she can put up with Mother.
And we're leaving this godforsaken hole. I suppose I have to go home.
Cecilia chose that moment to arrive at the table.
We're all going home, Harris. We have to straighten out the yacht's title.
It's yours. It always was, and it still is.
Because I'm thinking of selling it.
Sell it? Why?
Because I don't really like living on it. Yes, it's nice to be able to travel when and where I want, but most of the time I want to be on a planet, with horses. And to tell you the truth, Harris Sorano, I don't want to travel on that yacht with any other captain but you. And I don't want you any place but where you belong, in fleet.
Harris could think of nothing to say. The moment lengthened uncomfortably until George knocked over the sugar. They were days from Patchcock, well on their way to Rockhouse Major, when Harris thought of an adequate answer. She looked across Cecilia's study and saw her employer frowning over a hard copy of Equine Genetics Studies.
There's another way to travel freely, you know.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Seriously. You could use a smaller, faster hull than this. It wouldn't be as luxurious, but it would be too small to allow for many, even any, guests.
I couldn't get stuck with Ronnie. Although I have to admit that had good consequences as well as bad. And I realize I made some of Venezia's mistakes, letting myself be alienated from my family.
So it was more than dropping the lawsuit. Cecilia was going home with more than her body healed this time.
Yes, but rescuing one nephew is enough. Faster, less time in transit, so you wouldn't miss the amenities. If you learned to pilot it yourself...
What?
Would you rather ride or be driven? You're more than bright. You've gained enough time in your rejuvenation, as we now understand it, that the time taken to qualify for a civilian license would hardly dent what's left. I think you'd enjoy it. Your psychological profile certainly fits.
Harris watched as Cecilia's face ran its gamut from surprise to anticipation.
Your own ship under your own control. Of course, you'd need crew, a few, because it's not safe to do solo at the distances you travel. But a small crew, and you yourself in charge.
That would be the real lure. Cecilia's lack of political ambition sprang from no contempt for power itself.
How long would it take?
Depends if you go full-time or part. Brunn has all the current standards. She's planning to qualify, too. As you rejuvenants are discovering, there are no limits to learning new skills.
I can't seem to get used to it. The idea that we could keep living for centuries, forever.
Maybe you can't. Maybe there are limits. But you will certainly have time to learn to pilot your own craft if you want.
I'd like that. I really would. And you?
Me? I go back in fleet, of course. And while you've been very courteous in not asking, that includes my former crew. Petrus as well. We have an understanding.
Good. I'd hate to have you lose what you gained there. And your family?
My family. Well, my aunt the Admiral said we'd talk. I'll do what I have to.
It will be better than that.
Cecilia looked as if she wanted to say more, but Harris was in no mood to listen to auntly platitudes from someone who had taken her own family to court.
There's someone you should talk to.
Lord Thornbuckle opened the door, and Harris managed by the slightest margin to keep her jaw from hitting the floor. She had not expected to meet her aunt here. Lord Thornbuckle nodded at Admiral Serrano and went out, closing the door behind him.
Good to see you again, Harris.
Formality always worked. Harris fled into it as into a thicket.
Sir?
We're off duty, both of us. You can call me Aunt Vita, or an admiral, but not sir.
Yes, sir. Aunt Vita.
Vita took one of the big leather chairs and leaned back comfortably.
Better. You did a remarkable job in Xavier, as you well know.
Thank you.
And on Patchcock.
That wasn't really my doing, sir. Aunt. Lady Cecilia and the others.
Nonetheless, I'm very pleased with your performance. You have more than justified my confidence.
Thank you. You did put that keyhole into the database.
Of course. If you were smart enough to figure it out, you were smart enough to need it. I want to talk to you about the family.
Harris shifted uneasily in her chair. The old anger and confusion rose like a foul tide.
I don't. If they wanted to contact me, they could have easily enough. They haven't.
Harris, your parents made a mistake. They didn't come to your assistance instantly. I do not know their reasons. I have not asked. The only person who really needs to know is you.
I don't.
Perhaps not. If you can accept that they made the wrong decision without rancor, then you don't need to know. But if not you, then no one. You are still angry. You are still hurt. You should ask them.
It doesn't matter.
Harris had no intention of asking them. She didn't care what their reasons had been. The lump in her throat grew to choking size. She tried not to look at Vida's face or anything else.
If you're going to be terminally angry with anyone, be angry with me.
Why? You're the only one who ever contacted me, who ever bothered.
On my orders.
What?
On my orders, once you had resigned.
Vida gave Harris another long stare from those remarkable eyes.
You know, that surprised us all. Your resignation coming so fast.
Surely Admiral Sorkung told you.
Afterwards, yes. Not at the time of the board. I would not have expected that. I would have expected you to fight back.
By myself? With no one from the family coming to my aid? With Sorkung against me? You weren't there. No one was there for me.
Harris, you're still suffering, but you aren't yet seeing clearly. You did not ask any of us. Most of us didn't know until afterwards. I didn't. And you did not ask anyone directly for help, did you?
She had not. She had not thought she had to. She had expected them to come to her side without being asked.
No. I didn't.
No. And of course we taught you that, early on. That was our fault, perhaps. We wanted all you youngsters to be competent in your own right, not to lean on the family name. All, not just you, Harris.
But
you still think someone should have come. I think so myself. Your parents could have reacted faster. As I said, I don't know why they didn't.
If I had asked, would they have come?
I don't know that either. Until this mess, I had no reason to suspect them of being any less committed to you than you to them. Had you?
No. We hadn't seen much of each other for some years, what with assignments. But I thought everything was fine.
You're aware that Lord Thornbuckle has some antagonism to our family?
Yes. He mentioned it on Cerealis, and I never did find out more.
Did you ask?
No.
Ah. You know, Harris, someone who wants senior command should cultivate a lively curiosity. Technical competence, even tactical competence, isn't enough. Strategy depends on intelligence, and that depends on asking the right questions.
I felt uneasy. I didn't want to seem...
disloyal? You were angry, bitter, hurt, and yet you didn't want an outsider to think you were disloyal to the family?
I suppose.
You always were an idealist. It's one of the things I liked about you. Well, it's time you knew where all that came from. This gets complicated. Every family has its black sheep, or at least its less competent members. Serranos are no exception. One entire branch left the military, flunked out of the academy, one after another, and went into business. I suppose the best way to put it is that they conducted their business affairs with the same flair as the rest of us conduct wars.
I never knew that.
No. Like most families, we don't advertise our black sheep. Sometimes we can't even agree on who they are. But I suspect it's this branch which taught Lord Thornbuckle to distrust the name. At any rate, back to your parents.
It's still not right.
Now the famous tilt of the head.
Are you telling me you never made mistakes?
No. Of course I did, but...
No personal mistakes. Nothing that would look bad if everyone knew.
I have a lover. He was enlisted, one of my crew that was hunted by Lupescu. And when we found each other again, we...
Good for you. The burden of perfection ruins more people than you'd think. He's with the yacht.
Yes. Of course we haven't.
Of course. Harris, I'd hoped you'd learn to be human. How to forgive yourself for being human. Do you love him?
Yes. I do. But not...
It was going to sound crass, but she found herself unwilling to lie to this aunt. So much like Cecilia in some ways, so much like herself in others.
But not more than Fleet.
Ah, yes. A Serrano problem, not unique to you. When you talk to your parents again, perhaps you'll notice how little time they've had together in the past 50 years. One solution, it seems to me, is to encourage your friend to take a commission.
A commission?
She had said that to Petrus, but she hadn't thought it would really be possible.
Yes, you idiot. Did it not occur to you that there's a lot of goodwill to spread around after your defense of Xavier? Commissioning a civilian, even a civilian who used to be enlisted, will cause no difficulty. And I, for one, want to meet this paragon who overcame your resistance.
Her aunt had insisted that she must make the contact. Would they answer? And if they did, what would they say? She hoped to find that they were out-system somewhere, a safe distance. Instead, the directory listed them not only in-system, but on the base itself. Aunt Vida's meddling, no doubt. Harris left her message in both stacks and waited. Tried not to query her own stack every 5 minutes. Finally, she made herself go to lunch, then to the tailor's for a new set of uniforms. When she came back, her desk's telltale blinked. Someone had left messages. Her heart thundered. She could hear nothing past the pulse in her ears. A long breath. She touched the controls. And there it was, a formal request for a personal meeting. Her breath caught in her throat. She couldn't. She had to.
Harris.
Her mother and father stood side by side, formally, their faces as wary as hers must be. Harris couldn't bring herself to call them by name.
Come in.
Thank you for seeing us.
Her mother, as usual, was the spokesperson.
I talked to Aunt Vida.
A quick look passed between them, the kind of sidelong glance Harris remembered so well.
Harris, I won't try to explain.
She wanted to say something but couldn't. The silence stretched until she felt that her bones were drawn out thin as wires.
I will. I'm not a born Serrano. I don't have to play this game.
Her mother was the bronze eldest of a bronze clan, the Signor Lucchese, whose roots went as far back in Fleet as any.
We heard it. We didn't believe it. We expected you to come and tell us what you wanted us to do.
So it's my fault?
No, it is not your fault. It was our fault for listening to the wrong advice and for not realizing that you would not come. And saying we're sorry doesn't change it. If you want to stay angry, you can.
That's true. What do you mean, wrong advice?
Admiral Sorkung. He called your father and said you were determined to work your own way out of it. That if you needed help, you'd call. We didn't know until afterwards that he'd turned.
And then you listened to Aunt Vida, who said, let me alone?
No. Then I tried to figure out some way of killing Sorkung without getting caught or hurting anyone else. I told him... Well, never mind what I told him. It's on both our records now. And I called in every family member I could find. Your Aunt Vida came up with a plan. I didn't like it, but she pointed out that I had made a royal mess already.
Harris could almost smile. She could imagine her Aunt Vida making them all squirm. She was glad.
Did she tell you about it?
She told me that she'd ordered everyone to avoid contact once I'd resigned my commission.
Did she tell you why?
No, but I guessed some of it. A Serrano she believed loyal, in a perfect position to strain blackmailers and enemy agents out of the stream.
Something like that. When you got Lupescu, she felt she'd proved her point. I didn't. I thought that should be the end of it. You'd earned it, but your Aunt Vida...
I wish...
Harris couldn't finish. She didn't know what she wished, except that none of this had happened.
I'm sorry, but I hope you'll forgive us in time, if not now.
If not now, when?
A family saying intended to spur reluctant youngsters to try the difficult, to achieve the impossible. Forgiveness was impossible, looked at one way. The pain was still pain, the loss was still loss. In another way, it had been too long already. She could tell that they had suffered too. She was not alone in that. Harris reached out for them.
I missed you. I missed you so much.
Vida Serrano, in uniform, behind her own desk, was back to being the admiral, full of advice for younger officers.
If you get your mind straightened out, if you learn to ask the right questions, you'll be an admiral yourself in a few years. As for now, you did well enough with Vigilance and Paradox. We'll see what you can do with a real battle group. I'll expect you to be ready to ship out as soon as you get Vigilance back out of the yards.
A battle group? Vigilance? A real?
Harris looked at her aunt, and Vida grinned. A wicked grin of delight at her niece's surprise.
You've earned that much. I can't get you a star yet, but if you handle the group the way I expect, it'll come. You'll be going straight into trouble, of course.
What about personnel?
Your lover?
All of them.
I thought I'd give you Arash Lavati as second in command. That should make an interesting combination, you and Arash.
Harris had her doubts about Arash even now.
He's senior.
He was. You're getting a promotion, remember?
Harris fumbled around in her memories of the past few years, trying to untangle what she burned to know from what her aunt would consider strategic thinking.
How did I get that first job with Lady Cecilia?
Good girl. That took a bit of pressure on the employment agency. I wanted you to have flexibility, a ship with decent legs, a wealthy employer with an irregular schedule. Lady Cecilia was the first one to meet those qualifications.
Did you know her?
Not really. We'd met years back at a function she probably doesn't remember. That didn't matter. The other things did. And since you're now on the right track, I won't make you drag the rest out piecemeal. Yes, it was more than blind good luck or your talented scavenger's native ability that put certain items in his way when you needed them. Those military-grade scans, that weapons control upgrade. You'd earn that when you got Lepescu. I made sure Lavati got the assignment to carry the prince rather than Sorkang's grandson. And yes, Kutsudas was planted on you, and a good thing, too. Not that we didn't need to get him away from the trouble he'd brewed before it cost us his life and Lavati's ship. You don't know yet how ticklish things were in Fleet after the abdication, or how many holes I had to try to plug with too few resources.
You're going to explain?
As for the yacht, you can tell Lady Cecilia that the Fleet would be delighted to purchase it from her at a good price. We can always use ships like that on covert ops. And I really admire the beacon switch your technicians put in her.
Yes, sir.
Welcome home. Welcome home and good hunting.
Rafa stared her mother down.
No, I'm not trying to copy that thornbuckle girl, as you put it. I don't have her flair. I don't even want her flair. But I do want my own life, and that life is with Ronnie Carruthers.
I suppose you'll do it, whatever I say.
Rafa waited while her mother worked it all out.
Where are you going?
We're going to migrate over to the Palandra Group and take up an investor's claim.
But Rafa, dear, you don't have to do that. It's all right about Ronnie, now that his parents and his aunt aren't feuding.
We want to do that. It's nothing to do with his parents or his aunt. We want our own lives, and we can have it out on the new lands.
Rafa hoped she didn't sound bitter. She wasn't bitter, not really. But she wanted her children to have a chance to advance, without a layer of rejuvenance over their heads smothering them. She thought of the specks she'd seen, and found herself grinning.
It's not like it used to be. Pioneers these days have it much easier.
Never mind that she and Ronnie had already decided to spend most of their money on a bigger grant and fewer amenities. By the time her parents found out, if they ever did, she and Ronnie would have it all straightened out. Her mother gave her a long, straight look.
You must have more of your Aunt Marta in you than I thought. Well, just be sure to keep a little back for escape if things go haywire. Your father and I didn't stay on Buriel.
You pioneered?
Not exactly. We tried to go out and run a subsidiary by ourselves.
And you think I take after Aunt Marta? Mother, you're a fraud.
I don't want you to make our mistakes.
We'll make our own.
Keep a little back. But I hope you never need it. You will let us give you a good wedding, won't you?
As long as it's in the sculpture garden. And I get to choose my own dress.
George stared moodily at the ceiling. It wasn't fair. Ronnie and Rafa running off to play pioneer over in the Palandras. Brunn being mysterious and busy and having no time for old friends. Captain Serrano suddenly restored to her former rank and commanding a battle group, with no interest in helping a former Royal Aerospace Service officer transfer his commission to the regs. The clones were off wherever they were.
Moping?
George jumped. He hadn't heard his father come in.
I feel left out.
His father had that knack of extracting what you least wanted to say, fatal for many a witness. His father came around and looked at him. He realized that his father looked older and more worn than he had seen him before.
Time to grow up, George. They have.
It was fun.
Yes, but it's over. If you want to enjoy the rest of your life, you'll have to find another way.
I don't know what to do. I'm not like Ronnie. I don't have Rafa. Brun isn't the girl I grew up with anymore.
You're not that boy either, though you don't seem to know it yet. George, tell me, why didn't the clones kill you?
I think I talked them to death nearly, and it confused their circuits.
And back on Cerealis, you influenced the men who captured you.
Not well enough. I got shot in the gut anyway.
Well then, what do you really like to do?
Talk. Talk and make people do things, just by talking at them. Sometimes it backfires.
Yeah, sometimes it does. But when it works... You know, you've just described my career.
Law? I wouldn't be any good at that.
Because you're lazy, self-indulgent, and sometimes drive people crazy.
That's not how I'd have put it, but yes.
George, you've defined yourself in relation to Ronnie and Buttons and their friends for years. Rich, idle, spoiled, all that. But you're not, really. That's why they find you odious. Not because you're idle and spoiled, but because you pretend to be. And they scent it like hounds scent blood. For instance, suppose you tell me about Variaster Limited versus Transgene.
George scowled and hesitated. It had popped into his head, but he didn't like where his father was headed. He gave a précis of the case.
The only reason I know about it is that you left the brief out one time when I was trying to find your signature pad so I could get a signed excuse for class.
George, most kids who want to forge a signature simply use a copy algorithm in their notepads. They don't wade through 1,000-page briefs and remember them well enough to give a cogent précis 12 years later.
Was it that far back? I thought it was only 7 or 8.
Not quite. So, you remember that as well, do you? You might not find it as boring as you think, George. After all, you've been sneaking looks at my work for years. Has it been that bad?
Well, no.
But law school would be. He could just imagine day after day with a cube reader.
The thing is, when you're in law, everyone assumes the odiousness comes from that. And you can save most of it for the courtroom.
Law school.
Law school is where I met your mother. It's not all cube readers.
The ginger-haired girl he vaguely remembered from that hunt ball grinned at him from across the room when he went in to take the placement exam. She had certainly grown up, he thought. He had enjoyed that evening, but he hadn't seen her since he'd left Cerealis. Now, she winked at him and he winked back. She'd never called him odious. He looked at the exam and realized it was full of things he actually knew something about. Brigdis Serkin reported to the crew lounge of the Great Liner, hoping her luck had changed. Lady Cecilia had found her this berth. She had said goodbye to Brunn and Meharry and the rest the day before, over in the regular space service section of Rockhouse Major. Now she was committed to a civilian life. She had few regrets. The third mate was checking crew aboard.
Brigdis Serkin, welcome aboard. Wow, we've heard about you. We're all glad to have you on our ship.
Here they found her exotic. Her adventures convinced them she was extraordinary, someone of exceptional courage and wit. As the weeks passed, Serkin relaxed, finding new friends and a lot less tension. She found it hard to define the difference. The crew were all highly competent, and the standard of courtesy was as high. But the great ship had polish without an edge, like a ceremonial sword, a work of art and not a weapon. She liked that. She was glad to have known Meharry and Brunn and the others, glad to know what protected her and her crewmates, but even more glad that she was no longer trying to live up to that standard. The curtained alcove gave them privacy. The cooks gave them the best food for light years around. They ate slowly, taking the time to savor every nuance of flavor. Their table conversation lingered on the antics of favorite relatives, nieces and nephews for the most part. The waiter, carrying away the remains of the fish course, stopped to talk to the kitchen worker who received the tray.
It's so nice to see real quality. Ladies who appreciate good food, who take the time to be courteous to the staff. Just sitting there talking about their families without a care in the world reminds me of my own auntie.
Later, when they were giggling over something he didn't understand, he stopped by again.
Perhaps a bit tipsy, all that champagne, you know. But they're rather sweet, if you know what I mean. Perfectly harmless.
The Serrano Legacy, Winning Colors, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2002, Elizabeth Moon. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Lily Beacon, Michael Glenn, Corey James, Terrence Aselford, Andy Clements, Sonny Lasky, David Coyne, Tess Rowan, Stephen Carpenter, Richard Rowan, Elliot Dash, Eric Messner, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Elizabeth Demery, James Lewis, Dylan Lynch, Michael John Casey, Faith Potts, Thomas Penny, Johan Detweiler, M.B. Van Dorn, Nathaniel Perry, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Johan Detweiler. Graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Book adapted for graphic audio by Wilson T. Ferrier. If you enjoyed Serrano Legacy, be sure to look for the Deathstalker series, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras and podcasts.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Concentrate, concentrate, and visualize a storm.
Graphic Audio presents...
What? What is this storm?
DC Comics.
This is a Code A emergency. Do you copy?
Justice League of America. Superman. The never-ending battle.
There is power that not even they can overcome. Where is he?
I have my own reserves, fool!
Hello, Superman. If you can still hear this, you are in the final moments of your life.
Copyright 2008, DC Comics. Justice League of America, Superman, and all related names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics 2008. All rights reserved.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.